All right, we want to welcome everyone to the Wayne County Bible Center. We are recording for April 26th, for Sunday morning, April 26th, 2020, our Bible study. And it's going to be out of Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, and it is Jesus and the Sabbath, part 4. Go back, pick up the other three if you've missed them, and we will do a part 5 next week. And Tim and Patty and I are laughing a little bit about how Brother Leo can go on and on and on. But before we enter into our Bible study today, I want to point out that we record on Wednesday nights. And so Tim and Patty and I are here on Wednesday night, April 22nd. And I'm going to share some things with you based on what I know, but also based on a lot of things I don't know yet. Now, our governor here in Tennessee, Governor Lee, has lifted the stay-at-home order for May 1st, Friday, May 1st. So that is 9 days ahead of me right now on Wednesday night, April 22nd. We don't know the details of the phase one that will be incorporated in the state of Tennessee. The federal recommendation guidelines allow churches to meet in phase one as long as they adhere to social distancing. So if we were to resume on May 3rd, this is hypothetical. If we were to resume on May 3rd, we would continue to practice social distancing. And what Patty and I have already done is we have moved tables and chairs around to keep folks in family groups of two. As I sit at the pulpit right now, I can look at where Tim's sitting. He's sitting at a table that has been moved up close to the pulpit on my left side. And it only has two chairs where Ken and Betty normally sit. And we go on to families that have 3 and 4. I know where they sit, to families that have 5, to folks that come in as simply as married couples like Ken and Betty, where they sit. And we have taken out at this time about 30% of our seating to allow the social distancing. There are chairs up here around the pulpit where if somebody comes in, they need an extra chair, they can grab it and put it in their section. So we can cover that. There will also be the recommendation of face masks. I want you to understand that Patty and I visited a church member this past week that was in the Nashville, one of the Nashville hospitals. We wore face masks and gloves to protect them and us. So that's one of the recommendations. Also, hand sanitizers are very important, not only during this time, but, you know, I've been lax all my life in this area. Patty will have hand sanitizers at both entrances whenever we can come back together. Maybe May 3rd, maybe May 10th, maybe May 17th. We don't have the outline yet as Governor Lee reopens the economy. Now, those with underlying health conditions, those that are on immune suppressant medications, and our elderly are urged to continue to self-quarantine for their protection during phase one. I'm assuming that the state and the county recommendations will follow this. Again, these details have not yet been released. Anyone who's uncomfortable coming during the next several weeks, I totally understand. We just want folks coming that are comfortable with the social distancing and other precautions that we take. So, again, I want to remind you, I am recording on Wednesday night, April 22nd. You may listen to this on Sunday, April 26th, and all the details have been released. That may not be the case. I'll be speaking with folks in our county, other churches. When I find out that other churches are opening up, I will send you a text. So you may get a text next Thursday, which would be April 30th, saying we're on board for Sunday morning, May 3rd. You may not, but you will definitely get a text by the Thursday of whatever Sunday we go back. Now, I also need to tell you that we have missed six Sundays. So any business, any church, anyone is going to take a hit financially when you basically stop a lot of their operations for 6 weeks. So we've got two options now. You can mail in offerings if the Spirit leads you to the Wayne County Bible Center, C.O. Gloria Hastings, P.O. Box 204, Waynesboro, Tennessee, 38485. Tim's got that as a tab on our website. It's on Donate. You can hit that tab on the main menu, and that information is there. Wayne County Bible Center, C.O. Gloria Hastings, P.O. Box 204, Waynesboro, Tennessee, 38485. We also now have a drop box. The drop box is located at our back door on the parking lot side. And as you come from the parking lot toward the back door, the drop box is on your left-hand side, about shoulder level. And you can drop your offering in the drop box if you're in Waynesboro. It's already been used, praise the Lord. It also is being checked once a week. Now, I need to make another announcement. The Sunday that everything was stopped, we were not able to meet on the Sunday that we were going to take up the love offering for the Wayne County Helping Hands. Please pray about helping this vital ministry within our county. If we were to come back on the 3rd, I will announce on the 3rd that we're going to take up a love offering for the Wayne County Helping Hands on the 10th and the 17th. If we come back on the 10th, I'll announce it for the 17th and the 24th. But if you need to contact Miss Judy and want to make a contribution to this ministry now, I'm sure you can text her, go through the website, or you can contact me, and I will get you in touch with Judy. So that's all the information I can give you now. We will be sending you texts, and I want to thank everyone that is listening, everyone that it has been contributing. And, you know, I don't know who they are, but I do know that we are receiving some offerings during this time, and it's greatly appreciated. So here we go, Jesus and the Sabbath, Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. I'm going to reread it to you and remind you some things, and then we're going to move on to the second point Jesus makes as he is accused of being a Sabbath breaker. So in Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, the scripture says this: "At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the barley, and his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck the ears of barley and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests." We studied this a few weeks ago, and David said the law of necessity, that these men were hungry, and that they were on a mission, you know, for God, and God was protecting them and provided for them in that way. And then he says this: "Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are still blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. And if you had known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless." Grab that phrase, to condemn the guiltless. "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." Now, we're going to focus on verse 5 today, and we will close out next week looking at verse 8, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day," and also a verse in Mark where the Lord says the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask your blessings on Tim and his family, and thank you that Patty's with us, and Father, thank you that a year ago she was having surgery on a wrist that she had broken in a fall. And Father, that she is healed up today and we are healthy and many folks that are listening to us are healthy. We pray your comfort for those that have lost loved ones. We pray, Father, strength and health and healing for many in our church family that are battling serious illnesses right now. And Father, as I come to you, Lord Jesus, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for an anointing of your Spirit to share your truth this day. Father, we thank you for all those that listen out of state, all those that are faithful within the United States that listen to us, Lord, and folks in other countries. And I pray your protection and health on all of them. And I pray your economic blessing. Many folks are going through difficult times, Lord Jesus. I pray you give them wisdom and bring provision into their lives. I pray for our frontline workers, our nurses, our doctors, our EMTs, all of these folks, Lord. We thank you so much for them. And we pray, Lord Jesus, for your blessings on our families tonight, all of our church family, Father, our local church family, and those we consider family that listen to this website. We love them all, and Father, we can't wait to be back together. We pray for healing. We pray for your mighty hand to heal this land. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. All right, now, we want to pick up in Matthew 12, where Jesus is being accused here. Now, I want you to understand what's going on. Here is the Sabbath maker, and he's being accused of being a Sabbath breaker by the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious professionals of their day. The teachers and the interpreters of the Mosaic law have it backwards. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 7, he says, "You would not have condemned the guiltless." They're condemning the innocent. Now, this is a word of prophecy here. I want you to understand something. The scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they are condemning the innocent. This is the same bunch that later on, they're going to free a criminal named Barabbas, and they're going to execute a sinless man named Jesus. Now, you can't have it much more backwards than that, but let me give you something else. This is the same bunch that earlier is going to accuse the Son of God of being possessed by a demon. Now, my friend, I want to show you a very appropriate verse of Scripture that not only speaks to this bunch, but speaks to our culture and speaks to how you can get things totally backwards. And if you go with me to Isaiah chapter 5, I want to show you what's going on here. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, the prophet says this: "Woe unto them that call evil good, and that call good evil, that put forth darkness as if it were light, and they put forth light and call it darkness. They say that bitter is sweet, and that sweet is bitter. Woe unto these people who think they are so wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Now look at what it says. They call evil good, and they call good evil. My friend, I want you to know it is a sign of the times when protecting the life of a baby in a womb is something wrong, and murdering a baby is something right. And if that's not a commentary on how backward morally our culture has become, to say that marriage no longer needs to exist between a man and a woman, but that it's all right for a man and a man, that goes totally against nature, totally against creation. And to say that if you oppose that, you're somehow evil, or you're homophobic, or you're a hateful person. My friend, I just want you to understand something. I will minister to anyone. I will love anyone. I will go the extra mile for anyone. But I am not going to compromise biblical values to fit into some backwards moral culture. And so you can see in the days of Jesus, here the Son of God is standing right in front of them. They don't know who he is, and they're the ones that are supposed to be the experts in the Mosaic Law and the writings of the prophets. And Jesus said, did you not read the prophets? They're the ones that testified about me. Have you not studied the Mosaic Law? I'm the prophet that Moses said would come and fulfill that law. So it's very dangerous, my friend, to find yourself in a situation where the truth says one thing and yet you believe a falsehood. So always study the Word of God with an open mind. Always seek the truth with no agenda. Don't be ruled by any kind of preconceptions. And don't be a follower of what I'm teaching. I want to inspire you to get in the Word of God, to seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and to let the Lord reveal to you the truth of His Scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, let a man beware, let him take heed that thinks he stands, lest he falls. And a lot of times we can fall into this religious arrogance where we think we've got all the answers. Those scribes and Pharisees were condemning the guilty. We don't ever want to end up like the Pharisees. Now, let me show you what side of the fence you can end up on. Go with me to Acts chapter 5. And let me show you how dangerous this is. And in Acts chapter 5, Peter and John had healed a lame man. And the scribes and the Pharisees are discussing how to imprison him or punish him or whatever it is that they are going to do. And Gamaliel stands up. He is a Pharisee. And he says this. Now, I believe he was a believer, and I believe he became a believer. But he stands up and he says this in verse 38. He says, and now I say unto you, the whole group, refrain from these men and don't hurt them and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work that they're doing is of men, it's going to come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it and you cannot stop it. If this movement of Christianity, if this movement of Jesus Christ is of God, you cannot overthrow it and you cannot stop it unless you will be found even to fight against God. If you continue to oppose it, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. Now, I want you to understand, my friend, there are people that do things in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of religion every day, and it's totally the opposite of the Word of God. You know, there's not supposed to be an elevated priesthood in any kind of religion. Peter said, we are the priesthood of the believer. We all have access unto God. Don't anybody ever look to me and think Brother Leo's somewhere between them and God, because I'm not. I'm down here with you and we're all looking up to the perfect one. We are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. I've just been given a gift to teach the Word of God and to use that in a manner of humility as if I'm washing your feet, not lording over you. And so here they are. The Son of God is standing right in front of them in a barley field, and they don't recognize who He is. Now, go back with me to Matthew 12, and we're going to dive into this one verse as Jesus makes His second point in this defense of His disciples eating the barley on the Sabbath day. And in Matthew 12, verse 5, and I'm getting there. Brother Leo's getting slow on his pages. All right, Matthew 12, verse 5, he says this. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Now, Jesus brings up his second point of defense, and this is what it is. Now, we studied the Mishnah a few weeks ago, and the oral tradition and the addendums that in 1400 years had been added to the Mosaic Law, and what a Jewish person could do on the Sabbath and what he couldn't do, and some of it was Levitical. Some of it is written in the Levitical Law. But he's saying the labor of the priest on the Sabbath day in the temple. That's what his focus is on. The labor of the priest on the Sabbath day in the temple. So here we go. We've got three elements here. The Levitical priests, the temple, and the Sabbath day. All right? The Levitical priests, the temple, and the Sabbath day. Now, you know what I'm building to, who fulfilled all that. One man, Jesus Christ. But now, do they cross the line laboring on the Sabbath? Do the Levitical priests cross the line laboring on the Sabbath in the temple? If so, why are they considered guilty? If not, why are they not guilty? All right, here we go. Now, go with me to Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28. And in Numbers 28, we're going to look at what the priests are commanded to do on the Sabbath day. You can't take Brother Leo anyway. I've just knocked everything off the side of the pulpit. It's only three of us in here, and I'm still messing it. All right, here we go. Now, in Numbers chapter 28, verse 9, it says this, "And on the Sabbath day, the priests are to take two lambs of the first year without spot and 2/10 deals of flour for a meat offering, mingle with oil, and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath day, beside, in addition to, the continual burnt offering and his drink offering." So, on the Sabbath day, the Mosaic Law commands the priests to do an extra sacrifice. They are to do a Sabbath day sacrifice along with the regular sacrifices that are required in the temple. Now, what would this sacrifice involve? Well, it would involve carrying wood. It would involve kindling a fire. It would involve slaying an animal, then skinning the animal, then portioning out the animal as the sacrifice. Now remember the Mishnah, the oral tradition, the addendums. This is all forbidden for a regular Jewish person to do. Also, the showbread we read about in Leviticus 24, and that's verses 5 through 9. We've already studied it. But every Sabbath day they were to bake 12 loaves of the showbread, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. That would include kneading and sprinkling, baking, whatever. It would require fire. And they were to eat the showbread that had been there and then put the new loaves out. Now, also on the Sabbath, if you had a male child, and it was his eighth day, and it happened to fall on the Sabbath, he was to be brought in on the eighth day, whether it was the Sabbath or not, and the priests were to circumcise him. So there were several laborious tasks, T-A-S-K-S, several laborious tasks that the priests were to do on the Sabbath day that was forbidden during those days, during the days of Jesus, going back 1,400 years, that would be considered breaking the Sabbath. So why, Jesus is saying, why are the priests in their labor in the temple on the Sabbath, why do they not break the Mosaic Law? And you're sitting there saying, "Brother Leo, this may be the easiest question you've ever asked. They're not breaking the law, because their labor and their work on the Sabbath is commanded by God in the Mosaic Law to start with. The priests are set aside by God to do these particular tasks, and they're commanded to do them by God's word, by God himself. So the short answer is, it's allowed because it's the Lord's work, done by the Lord's servant, in the Lord's house, commanded by God himself. So it's the Lord's work, done by the Lord's servant, in the Lord's house, the temple, commanded by God himself. So Brother Leo, what is Jesus saying here? Well, go back with me to Matthew 12, and let's look at what he says next. So I want you to understand, if God's commanded, then it would be disobedient for the priests not to do that, for them not to do an extra sacrifice, for them not to do the regular sacrifices, for them not to do the showbread, because these priests must be about God's business, and especially on the Sabbath day. So Jesus is using all this up to set up his next statement, which is absolutely huge. So in Matthew 12, 5, he says this: "Have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place right now is one greater than the temple." Jesus is saying, standing before you right here, right now, in this barley field, in the flesh, is a servant of God greater than any high priest that ever lived. Standing right here in this barley field, in the flesh, is a servant of God doing a work that is greater than any temple sacrifice, any temple service, any temple labor. There is one standing here who has a greater, higher ministration than the Levitical priests in the temples, in the temple made with hands in Jerusalem. So what was his higher ministry? Go with me. Let's look at Paul's commentary on that. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says this: "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So what the Lord's saying here is, I am here, the Messiah is here, and the very work of the Son of God to bring about the salvation of mankind is going on in here, and it's okay for my disciples to eat barley out of a field on a Sabbath day, because they're with me and the work that we're doing is greater than the work of the law and the prophets. So he's saying, I am he. The Son of God is here. His ministry is here. It's a greater ministry. It's a higher ministry. It's a fulfillment ministry. And you don't even recognize who I am. Jump back to Luke 19. And in Luke 19, this is another one of those summary verses, like I just read. I read you Paul's commentary, but this is the cross-reference to it. It's Jesus himself. In Luke 19, verse 9 and 10, Jesus says this in the home of Zacchaeus. He says, "This day is salvation come to the house of Zacchaeus, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And all this is playing out right in front of us as we read it. It's all playing out right in front of the scribes and the Pharisees and all the religious leaders. And they're missing the whole thing. They're trying to kill the one who came to give us eternal life. And so in Matthew 12, 6, when he says, standing here is one greater, one higher than the ministry of the priest in the temple made with hands, he is asserting his divinity and his divine mission from God. He is fulfilling and transitioning from the law, from the temple, from the priest to himself. He's saying, the great I am is here. There is one standing here. Get your eyes off the temple and look at the one standing here. Get your head out of the Mosaic law and look at the one who preached the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is transitioning them from the Mosaic law, the priests and the temple, to himself. Go with me to John 2. Go with me to John 2. Jesus says, what about the priests and the temple? Now they're accusing the Sabbath maker of being a Sabbath breaker. And the word they're using is, you're profaning the Sabbath. Now in John 2 verse 13 it says the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that were selling oxen and sheep and doves and money changers and extortionists. And he made a scourge or a whip of small cords, and he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the money changers and overthrew the temple. Now, who was running that show? The priest, Caiaphas, Annas, the same bunch that's accusing Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, take these things hence, and make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And in verse 18, the Jews said unto him, what authority do you have to be running all these people out of the temple? What sign will you show us to show us that you have the divine authority to do all these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And the Jews said, 46 years it took to build this temple. And in John's commentary here, he inserts in verse 21, but he spake of the temple of his body. And when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. What is Jesus saying here in Matthew 12? He's saying, standing in front of you, the body of Christ, the temple of his body, is the purest and the holiest temple of the living Spirit of God that was ever on earth. The body of Jesus Christ was the purest, holiest temple of the living God that was ever on earth. Colossians 2:9. In his body dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead and all the fullness of divinity. And you contrast the body and the life of Jesus Christ to John chapter 2 verse 13 through 15. And who's pure and who's defiled. And so this is the contrast. The Son of God and the corruption of the scribes and the Pharisees. And they had it all back. So he is pointing them to him, his person, his divinity. He is infinitely more sacred than any temple built with human hands. And they're not letting go, and they don't want to let go. It's financially beneficial. And in a lot of ways, they're evil. And they can't see. If you go with me to John chapter 1. John the Baptist gives us this testimony in verse 29. He says, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him. And he said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. John knew who he was. Mary and Martha knew who he was. Lazarus learned who he was. Many, many recognized him for who he was. And then many did. And my friend, you've got a question, you've got to seek, you've got to know Jesus. These people, you know, I could say it right now. These people wouldn't know Jesus if he was standing right in front of them in a cornfield. And there are times I'm watching TV and I'm watching people that are supposed to be religious leaders, and you're about to say, Brother Leo, you sure are judgmental. Well, maybe I am. But I'm sitting here and I'll hear them interview and I'll hear them talk, and they don't mention Jesus, and they don't mention a personal relationship, and they don't mention the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Oh, they'll talk about their holy days, and they'll talk about their rites, and they'll talk about their rituals, and they'll talk about this, that, and the other. But my friend, they don't know the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Go with me to Luke chapter 2. Look what happens here in Luke chapter 2 during Jesus' childhood. And many folks miss this. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they refused to see him for who he was, and they got it backwards. They were calling the Sabbath maker a Sabbath breaker. They released the guilty Barabbas. They executed the pure, holy Jesus. They said the Son of God, full of the divinity of the Godhead, was possessed by a demon. And when Jesus stayed back after the Feast of the Passover as a child, his parents found him. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 48, and when his parents saw them, they were amazed. His mother said unto him, Son, why have you dealt with us? Behold, your father and I, we lost you on the caravan. We thought you were with us. We've been looking for you, worried. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Do you not understand that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying. Because, I mean, they were in the forest. And a lot of times, because of the trees, you can't see where you are. But my friend, we don't have that excuse. We've got the Word of God. We've got great Bible teachers in America, throughout the world. We've got commentaries. We've got websites, internet. Tremendous amount of resources. And we've got the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. So here we are. Matthew 12. Now, I want to go back before I close. Jesus makes two points. He talks about King David, who is revered by the Jewish nation and was revered during that time. And then he speaks about the temple, the priest, and their labor on the Sabbath day. And then he points to himself and says, standing in front of you is the very Son of God himself, the one you claim to worship. Next week, we're going to look at that verse where he says, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. What does the Son of Man mean? Jesus used this term over 80 times, or it's recorded over 80 times in the Gospels as Jesus describes himself as the Son of Man. My friend, thanks for listening. Seek the Lord. You say, Brother Leo, how do we relate to the scribes and Pharisees? My friend, there are many people today that have it backwards. They think you get saved by works and not by grace. They think you can be good enough to somehow get into heaven. My friend, you get saved by grace. It's undeserved. You put your faith and your commitment in Jesus Christ. And from that day forward, you do your best as you're indwelt by the Spirit. Works come after salvation. They don't come before. Well, my religion says we can go do this and we can go do that. And we can light this candle and we can give this money and we can do... My friend, all that's a lie of the devil. And you can disagree with me. But you show me in the Scriptures. And that's another thing. Question everything you do. Question everything you're taught. And make sure it can be backed up by the Scriptures. Jesus and the Sabbath. Patty was laughing at me earlier because I told Tim it was part four. Well, we're going to go ahead and do part five next week. But let me pray with you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love everyone listening today and you have a plan and a purpose for their lives. Father, we pray for those that are in need. Let us help those that are in need. Show us the way. Open a door. Let us minister to those that are battling health issues. And Father, bring us back together real soon. But make it clear to us, Lord Jesus. And show us the way. Father, we pray for truth to win out in America over deception. We pray, Father, that we will humble ourselves as a nation and turn to you in return to biblical ways and biblical morals so you can heal our land and bless us. And Father, let us love everyone and try to minister to everyone. But Father, when I sin, I must confess my sins unto you. I don't ask you to compromise your word or to change your moral ethics. I say, Lord Jesus, you are right and I am wrong. Father, forgive us, guide us and lead us, and bless all the families and everyone that's listening to us this day. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.